This evening's scripture lesson is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonian Christians, the fifth chapter, beginning with verse 1, will also be the basis for tonight's homily. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Here ends our lesson.
Thank you.
Please, one verse of our text once again. St. Paul writes, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have made us sons of light and sons of the day through faith in Christ. And we pray that you would keep us always ready and prepared for the time he comes to take us to our eternal home. Strengthen us in our faith. We ask it all in his name. Amen. You may be seated. I was in seminary. My brother-in-law was teaching at a Lutheran school up in South Minneapolis. And there was another teacher who lived right near the school. And one night he woke up about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and he could hear something, a noise in the bedroom. And he looked up and he realized there was a burglar right in the bedroom in the dark going through their drawers. His wife also woke up. But surprisingly, they didn't say anything, and they just lay quietly in the bed, very still. It was a very terrifying moment, and to have this man rummaging through everything and then suddenly leave and go back out. I just can't imagine how startling that would be, to wake up in the middle of the night to actually have someone going through your drawers. If they had known that he was coming that night, certainly they would have taken greater precautions. I believe they had their doors locked, though, but would have probably notified the police and so on. Jesus uses that type of imagery for us, and St. Paul does as well tonight in our text when he talks about his return, coming as a thief in the night. For us, when we think about the end times, and as we reflect on that in the last couple weeks of the church year as we're in right now, there are really sort of two dangerous places for us to go with this. The first one is one that probably isn't very dangerous to most of us, and yet it's one we need to be aware of, and that is to be overly, if you will, preoccupied with the return of Christ. There have been many moments in history, in the history of the church, even here in the United States, when people have been overly occupied with the return of Christ. A good example was back in the 1840s, a preacher by the name of William Miller. He had done a numbers chase through the book of Daniel and wrote down all these numbers that were in there and added them up and calculated that the precise date of Jesus' return would be October 22nd, 1843. And he sent out communiques all around the world. There were people in Hawaii and in Chile and in Norway, Tanzania, all over the world who bought into his date setting. Some people quit their jobs. We're told that some people even dressed up like little children. And you might think, why in the world would they do that? Some dressed up like little children and actually went outside and acted like little kids on that day when Jesus was supposed to return, because they were taking literally the verse, "Whosoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And it became known as the great disappointment when that day passed. But that's probably not the thing that's going to be a ditch for us to fall into. But the other side is really the one that's the most dangerous. I know it is for me. And that is the ditch of negligence, of extreme negligence regarding our Lord's return. To be so unthoughtful and uncaring about it and feeling like it's so far off that we really don't even think about it very often. And one of the components that Jesus often places in his warnings to us is a warning about that very issue, the suddenness of his return. And that's why the thief in the night motif keeps showing up for us in the Bible. The actual day will bring an element of surprise to the world. He says, "For when they say peace and safety," in other words, everything's fine, "peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." So this is a built-in challenge that we have as Christians today. We just naturally don't like to wait. And I think it's even magnified in our culture here in the United States. I remember years ago when I lived in Florida reading an article in the Tampa newspaper once about the fact that Disney World down there has two full-time people on all day, and all they do is monitor the length of the lines you have to stand in to get on the rides because they know people hate waiting so much. They even put up television screens and give you the feel like you're in the ride for about an hour before you actually get on it, all because they know people hate waiting. If you stretch that line out blocks long, nobody would want to stand in it. There's just something in us. We just don't like to have to wait for things. And like I said, I think in our culture it's even worse. And the longer we have to wait, the harder it becomes. And the danger is that we become disengaged from the process and we start to become careless about this. And Jesus knows that about our sinful human nature. So does St. Paul. And that's why the Holy Spirit is addressing this for us. The further that we get removed from the time Jesus gave us these warnings, the more dangerous the suddenness issue becomes for us. Because we can look back at all of the thousands of years that have taken place now and say, well, for goodness sakes, if it hasn't happened in the last 2,000 years, I don't have to be very concerned about it. While we wait, the world also invites us to come back into its darkness. And that's another danger that is expressed in our text. And I think the younger we are, the more difficult that becomes too. The easier it is for us to kind of think that, well, I'm going to slumber back into the darkness of the world for a while, but I can always come back to be a child of light. You know, as a chaplain, as a pastor, this may sound funny, but I get paid to stay ready. I get paid to stay ready. I get paid to help people stay ready for Jesus' return. I get paid to teach people about that. And I still have a problem with it. I still find my heart sometimes drifting back into carelessness about my faith and apathy and things like that. How big of a challenge this really is for those of us who've been blessed to be children of the light. And so God provides us with a healthy, balanced judgment day mentality, a judgment day view that he wants us to have. Listen to what Paul says to us as Christians. This is such a beautiful verse. Just let this verse come into your ears and down into your heart. You are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons and daughters of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Isn't that great? We don't feel that way a lot of times, but that's how God views us. We are children of light. The light of heaven has shone into our hearts by God's grace and his mercy and compassion. Jesus and St. Paul aren't giving us these words just to kind of keep us from falling into sins. And certainly that's an important thing. But they're writing and giving us these types of words and these warnings so that we stay ready and make sure that the very thing God placed in your heart to be a child of light comes to fruition, finally comes to fulfillment on the day that the doors of heaven open up for us. If you can imagine somebody who's gone to visit a really amazing place, I mean a really, really over-the-top amazing place, and they've now come to talk to other people who are on their way to that and how excited they are about that, and it almost troubles them that the people they're talking to just don't get and just don't understand how phenomenal this is going to be to actually experience this and to go there. Maybe you've been in a position like that. That's how our Lord Jesus is. He has come from heaven. He knows what we're going to. He knows the light that we're heading toward. In fact, he knows that it is so worthwhile for you to come there with him someday that he laid down his life for you. He paid for your entrance into heaven with his blood. He has sent his Holy Spirit into your hearts, poured his water on your head to name you as his own child, given you this faith that grabs onto him and loves him. And so the last thing he would ever want is for you to miss what this whole Christianity thing has been about. What a blessing that we are children of light. Let us stay ready in that light. Amen.
Thank you.